I stand here in the Cairo War Memorial Cemetery, and truly there are many stories represented within these walls, but there's just one that I want to draw your attention to at the moment. You see, buried here is a man named Oswald Chambers. He became well known to many of us thanks to his wife Biddy, who transcribed many of his messages and his thoughts onto paper for us into 39 different books, including My Utmost for His Highest. But there's one aspect, one story that's within these walls that I want to share with you that I believe impacts all of us. You see, Oswald was a great man, born in Scotland back in 1874, a man who by his teenage years showed a passion for Christ, had incredible gifting within art and within music, served the poor in his community. Later in his 20s, he started a Bible school, a passion for to see the globe reach for Jesus Christ. Out of the 106 students that came into the walls of that Bible school between 1911 and 1915, 40 went out as full-time workers around the globe. We could say a lot of things about this life, but in 1915, after World War I had begun, Oswald had a burden for the soldiers who were fighting. And so he went to Cairo and served with the YMCA, and there he worked specifically with New Zealand and Australian soldiers. Now, the YMCA at that time was really just a place to try to keep soldiers out of the brothels, and well, Oswald believed it should be more than that. And so he started a Bible study, shut down a lot of programs. In fact, the administrators at the place said, "You're going to lose the soldiers." Well, that wasn't the case, because people wanted to hear Oswald Chambers share about this Jesus Christ that he knew personally. In fact, they said hundreds would pack the hut where he was just to hear Oswald share about his love for Christ and his love for the scriptures. On October 17th, Oswald developed an appendicitis. Now, clearly he needed emergency medical help, but he refused a bed in the hospital because he knew that some of the soldiers he worked with had this impending battle of Gaza and would need the bed urgently. Now, by October 29th, it was absolutely necessary for him to go into surgery, and he did have his appendix removed, but there were complications. And just a few weeks later, on November 15th, 1917, Oswald Chambers died from a pulmonary hemorrhage and entered eternity. But my friends, the story doesn't stop there. Like Abel, though being dead, he still speaks. Out of the 39 books that are credited to Oswald Chambers' name, there was only one whose manuscript was actually finished before Oswald Chambers went to be with the Lord. That was called Baffled to Fight Better, a book about the life of Job. But in that book, he specifically notes that it's not what a man does that is of utmost importance, but rather it's about who that man is. And you see, Oswald Chambers' very existence is summarized by not just who he was, but rather who defined him. What can we say about a great man of faith, a man who impacted so many? You know, ever since 1924, when My Utmost for His Highest was first published, it hasn't gone out of print since. What do you say about a man like Oswald Chambers? Well, on his grave here, sure up on the top, it says something about being superintendent of the YMCA, and it gives the age of his death. Down below, engraved in stone, are five words that truly said who and what was important to this man. Simply put, Oswald Chambers was a believer in Jesus Christ. Oswald once said, "The dearest friend on earth is a mere shadow compared to Jesus Christ." My friends, the Word of God says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You see, we all will have our appointment with the grave as well. And the question won't be the great things that we did, but rather the great God who so loved us and gave Jesus Christ to die for our sins and conquer the grave that we might live eternally with Him. So I ask you, are you a believer in Jesus Christ?
Greetings and blessings, faithful family and friends of bbtemple.org worldwide. That was a glimpse at Oswald Chambers, our Legacy Series focus for today. It may not be a name that you're familiar with, and though he has been at home with our awesome Lord for more than a century now, his impact is very much still alive and active today indeed. I confess, I was not really that familiar with Oswald Chambers, and I purchased an Audible book that I thought was his devotional, but it turned out to be a biography that recounted his relatively short but truly extraordinary life. And I'm so delighted that I did that, because now I get to share that with you, precious peeps. So let's take a closer look at the life and legacy of Oswald Chambers, shall we? Oh, holder of the golden clicker, please, if you would, change that slide. Now, Oswald Chambers was actually born way back in 1874 on July 24th. And of course, as you heard in the clip, he passed away on the 15th of November, 1917. He was an early 20th century Scottish Baptist evangelist and teacher who was aligned with the holiness movement. He's best known for the daily devotional that we've been talking about, My Utmost for His Highest. Now, Chambers was a very talented artist in his own right, as you can see here from one of his sketches. Amazing, right? In fact, he had considered pursuing art as a career, but was redirected to instead become a pastor. He was a prolific writer, and because he just so happened to marry a stenographer nicknamed Biddy, who would capture 250 words a minute, we now have his sermons preserved for us for all eternity, sans smartphones or videos, which wouldn't be even invented for, you know, another 80 years or so. Now, keep in mind that when he passed away at the relatively young age of 43, he left behind a wife and child before there was any sort of social security net. Of course, he lived in Scotland. I don't believe anything at that time. If you were in that situation, usually ended up at a workhouse as a child. But through the grace of God, even though she was in some very difficult circumstances, you know, financially speaking, single mom with a little child. Well, actually, his daughter was about 9 when he passed away. Chambers' widow transcribed and published books and articles edited from the notes that she had taken in shorthand during his Bible college years. I mean, amazing, right? That's all she had, but that's all she needed. And it was those very transcriptions that would sustain her for the rest of her life. Most successful, of course, was one of the 30 books that he wrote was My Utmost for His Highest, written almost 100 years ago, 1924, published. Of course, a daily devotional composed of 365 selections of Chambers' talks, each of about 500 words. And incredibly enough, the work has never been out of print for more than a century, for almost a century, and has been translated into 39 different languages. I mean, that's just simply incredible. So let's look at some of his writings, if we could, which I'm now discovering. And they seem to speak directly to my heart. And hopefully you will discover they do the same to yours as well. And if I can get this realigned. Oh, kind clicker person, if you would please change that slide. And these are taken directly out of his devotional. Now, just listen. Listen, if you would, to some of these priceless gems. If through a broken heart, God can bring his purposes to pass in the world, then thank him for breaking your heart. And how about this on faith? Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Amen and amen, right? Or how about this one? Regarding the fear of God. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. That, amen and amen. Or how about this? Have you been asking God what he is going to do? Don't we all? I know I do. He will never tell you. He'll never tell you. God does not tell you what he is going to do. He reveals to you who he is. Amen and amen. Or how about prayer? We have to pray with our eyes on God and not on the difficulties. Ooh, that one's for me. That one's for me. Or this one about prayer. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. So true. And again about faith. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. Yes, yes indeed. Or how about this? One of the greatest strains in life is the strain of waiting for God. Amen. Or how about this on suffering? No healthy Christian ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. And this may be a little bit longer, but extremely profound, just to end up our list on, if you would. We are not made for the mountains, for sunrises, or for the other beautiful attractions in life. Those are simply intended to be moments of inspiration. We are made for the valleys and the ordinary things of life, and that is where we have to prove our stamina and our strength. Amen and amen. So, what should be our takeaway for today? Simply this. Now I could go ahead and I could memorize all these writings, should I? I think there's a better use of our time. And I think that's just to simply remember the most important thing of all that we saw previously etched humbly on his headstone. So, oh, if you would, anointed clicker person, please, if you would, just one last time, change that slide. Thank you. And here, in fact, is that tombstone. A believer in Jesus Christ. Because, dear ones, regardless of what anyone remembers about us or doesn't, the single most glorifying thing that could be said about us is simply that we were believers in Jesus Christ. No greater thing can be said. So, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have put these people into our lives and into our collective conscience, that we can be encouraged and be amazed at how truly timeless your grace and your mercy is played out through people who we may not even ever have known their name, but we can read their word today, century later, and it still is true and fresh and real and right. as it was the day it was penned. So praise God for that. And Lord, just grant us the wisdom and the courage to continue to press forward, to not become discouraged, but to know that all of this is for our sanctification, because you've already glorified us. All we need to do the rest of our lives is to glorify you as believers in Jesus Christ and praise you and thank you for that awesome opportunity. In the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, amen.